Congregation, Mary and Joseph were engaged. Not married yet. They knew each other and they planned to marry someday, but again, were not married yet. They loved each other, trusted one another. And then one day, Mary said, "Joseph, I'm expecting." And she may have explained it a little bit about an angel coming, and he told her to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. But that did not make any sense to Joseph. One thing he knew, "I'm not a father." He knew that for sure, "I am not the father." So he was planning to leave her. Because he had a hard time believing her story. And we see him a certain night, I think, in bed, wrestling and thinking, "What now? And I don't know what to do and how to proceed." And then read the Bible. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. So he was probably in bed in a dream. He said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." You're engaged, in a sense, is your wife. Take her as your wife. Don't fear. Don't be so concerned. Don't think those strange things. No, that's not true. She was not unfaithful. Fear not. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Trinity, right? The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou, you Joseph, thou shall call his name Jesus. They shall call his name Jesus. Not the name. The name Jesus is chosen by God. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's an explanation. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then Joseph, I'm just reading again, raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. And I read in a few verses further, and he knew her not. Of course he knew her. You know what I mean? He was not intimate with her, he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So the name Jesus is so important, right? So that's what the sermon is about. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, in connection with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 11. So let's read those two questions. On page 39, in the back of your Psalter book, 39, Lord's Day 11, questions 29 and 30. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Answer, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare in saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and savior. For one of these two things must be true. That either Jesus is not a complete savior, or that they who by true faith receive this savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. So far. So tonight it's about salvation only by receiving the Savior. Salvation only by receiving the Savior. Three main points. Jesus the Savior. What does it mean that he is the Savior? Saving from what? And how? What are those details? And secondly, the only Savior. The only one, I hope to just make it very clear from the Bible that it is absolute exclusivity. The Lord Jesus only. Nobody else possibly can be the Savior. The only Savior. And the third point is receiving the Savior. Receiving him in the heart. Salvation only by receiving the Savior. Jesus the Savior, the only Savior, receiving the Savior. Congregation, what is it to know God? Or rather, what is it to know Jesus? How can you know him? He's not here on earth. He's in heaven. He's invisible. How can you have a personal encounter with Jesus? How can you personally know him? Now, there are no audible voices, no dreams. He does not come anymore in his human nature. But through the Bible, he reveals himself in the Bible. He receives himself, he reveals himself in the Bible and shows something of him. For example, his offices, what he did and his miracles. And one of those things is his names. So name is often in the Bible a picture. And so the name Jesus is a picture of Jesus. So let's have a look at that picture tonight. Let's see, what do we see now? His name is Jesus. Well, two syllables, right? Jesus, two syllables. The first syllable is an abbreviation of Jehovah, the Lord, with capital letters, the covenant God, Yahweh. I am that I am. I'm always the same. I don't change. I'm the covenant God, trustworthy God, Jehovah. That's the first syllable. And the second syllable is from a Hebrew word, Yasha, meaning to save. Or to rescue, or to deliver. A word that's used by rescuing people who fall in the wrong hands. For example, during war times, and you have to rescue them, or to deliver them, or when people are in danger of death, to save them. Think of people walking foolish trails in the mountains and getting stuck and can't go back anymore and stuck and you need search and rescue people to get them out of there safely. That's the same word. So Jesus means the Lord saves, literally. But of course you can also make it a little longer because the angel explained it himself as well. And angel said, because he shall save his people from their sins. That's his name. Sin deliverer, from sin rescuer. Oh, he's God. He's appointed by God. He's willing to do his work. He has come. He's still alive. And he saves. He saves from what? Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be helped and saved and delivered from something or someone? We could make a long list of things you'd like to be saved from. Delivered from. People can be bullying and being nasty and being enemies for each other. Deliver me from those circumstances. Many things you would like to be delivered from pain. Please take that pain away, Lord. That illness away, that fear of death away. I'm so lonely. Help me, I have such a low self-esteem. And I understand that people would like to be rescued and helped and delivered from many things in this life, many of the consequences of sin, right? I understand there's nothing wrong with having a desire and a prayer. And the Lord can help in all those circumstances. There is nobody tonight saying, I desire to be saved from my sins. Anyone tonight? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I ask you to answer the question personally. Do you have any desire to be saved from your sins? Anyone interested? Because some people say, just believe that you're fine. But you know, the Bible teaches that it's a personal thing to be saved from your sins. And I was trying to find some examples about that. Let me say, the example of young people. Someone steals a toddler, 2 years old, and takes that child to a faraway country or to another province, and nobody knows, and raises that child and is nice to that child. And the child is fine, it seems. But it's in the wrong hands, right? And the child has no idea who his real father and mother are. It's things that they are his parents, they are not. So the child needs to be rescued and does not even want to be rescued. Please don't come, don't steal me from my parents, because I'm fine here. They are my parents, and they aren't. So people can be in the wrong hands without knowing it, right? Without knowing it. And so spiritually people can be in the wrong hands. And slaves of sin without really suffering. No problem. I'm fine. I like my life. I like my master. I like this type of life. And the greatest problem is to save people that don't want to be saved. And that feel fine. Now suppose someone finds out. And now to get the child away from those people, and now she is 16 or something, that's so hard. Why don't we just leave her alone there? See? To rescue people that don't want to be rescued and are fine. And that's what it is. Our greatest misery is that we don't know our misery. And think lightly of sin and think the best of ourselves. But Christ is a rescuer. And he's able to save people from their sins and also talk sense into them. And let them know the situation and really solve the problem. And there's not smoothing it over. But to really take care of it. Because Satan is smart, right? And people are gullible. And may feel okay. And they aren't. We are not. Nobody is. We need to be saved. Or think of someone who is sick. And so sick that he does not feel sick anymore, right? Someone can be so sick that he's almost unconscious. And you are at that bed and you say, how do you feel? There's nothing coming out of there anymore. He does not feel sick. He doesn't feel sick. So that's how sick he is. So ill. And so people can be so ill that they don't feel their illness spiritually. And they sit in church and they come faithfully and they behave well and they are fine and doing okay and sometimes a little concern here and there. But have a real problem? No. I'm fine. So blind. So terribly sick. I don't even see how sick they are. So Satan is a slave master and he intoxicates people. He poisons people so they are willing servants. But they are servants, willing servants. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes. And let me show you from the Bible what servants we are. I take a few verses from Romans 6. Listen for the word servant. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey? So you are servants to them you obey. Who are you obeying? Whether servants of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What are we? Are we servants of sin unto death? That's serious. Servants of sin unto death. Personal death, eternal death, spiritual death. But God be thanked that ye were, think of this morning's sermon, ye were the servants of sin, you were. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So serving sin unto death, and then being rescued and made servants of Christ and of righteousness, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. If you are servants of sin, we die. And if you are servants of God and Christ, we receive eternal life. You know, some people are intoxicated and don't see the problem of slavery. They say, I'm not a slave, but they are. And others are more conscious of their sins. They know I'm doing the wrong thing here and there. I shouldn't do this. But they yet continue. They're in a rut. They feel I have to get out of the rut, and they can't, they say. Deep down, they don't want to. And they're in that rut, and that rut leads to eternal death as well. And they know it. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I hope that's not you. Kind of smoothing things over, knowing it's wrong, and just, yet I do it. Just going against your conscience. You need to be rescued as well, right? Proverbs 3, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. So hardened in her sin, in his sin. Whatever. Because I know that thou art obstinate and thy neck is an iron sinew. Thy neck and iron stiff-necked. And thy brow brass, refusing to be ashamed. Zephaniah 7, they refuse to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. So some people need to be rescued and don't want to be rescued, and other people, they know they need to be rescued, and they refuse to be rescued, and they leave me alone. I like my life. I like this sin, and they cherish certain sins. So Christ came to save people from their sins, from their guilt not only from their guilt, we are guilty, not only from the pollution and the corrupt nature, but he also rescues from the power and the slavery of sin. He can do that. People in a rut so deep they can't get out, they say. And the Savior comes and gets them out of that rut. And they may once in a while fall back into sin, but they are not in the rut anymore. They are freed from the slavery of sin. So that's what the angel said to Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. From their sins, he saves them away from it. He takes it away. He delivers. I like those words in the Bible about saving, about delivering, about rescuing. Lord Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He gave himself. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, who gave himself that he might redeem us, that's another word, redeem us from our iniquities and purify himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So the Lord Jesus came that he might redeem people from all their iniquity, take it all away. Nothing is left. And purify unto himself, for himself, he likes it, to purify for himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Have a passion for obedience and walking in the Lord's ways. And the Lord is able to change people so around that they are freed from that power of sin, and he purifies them for himself. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jealous of him? Have you seen something of the beauty of Christ? Beauty? What do you mean? Well, this. And in him is no sin. Some people of you tonight have seen that and say, oh, that is so beautiful. He has no sin. So different from what I am. And he has no sin to take away sin. He pays for sin. He delivers from sin. He heals from sin. He restores people. He makes intercession. He's still alive. And he is a savior. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And someday that salvation will be complete after this life, right? Salvation is not complete here. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Salvation will be nearer than was before. Need salvation? Anyone bothered by his or her sins? There is a Savior. He can do it. He can do it. Yes, for you too. He can do it. And he's willing. And he opens his arms to rebels, that they may seek salvation with him. And it says, he shall save his people from their sin. He shall. Not maybe or he can. He shall do it. He will do it. He shall save his people. He has a people. And that people increases. But it's his people. And he saves his people from their sins. They are so blessed. Jesus the Savior. Let's go to the second main point. The only Savior. Likewise, second part of answer 29, likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. And the last part of answer 30, one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Of course, you know where I'm going. There is no other Savior. You can go wherever you want, do whatever you like. There is no other Savior. He's the only one. You need him. And I preach him to you. He's in the Bible in front of you. He reveals himself in the Scriptures. There's no one else. And let me underline that from the Bible. And neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that clear? So if there is a religion without Jesus, it's false. A doctrine without Jesus as the only Savior is false doctrine. Conversion without Jesus is not a conversion. Preaching without Jesus Christ is not real preaching. It needs to be clear, there is only one name given. It's given, yes, given among men even, not among the devils, among men, whereby we must be saved, must in the sense of that's the only possibility. Don't listen for anyone else. Listen for yourself. Have you found the only one? The only Savior? There are some bold expressions. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Period. If you don't believe in the Son, you shall have no life. It can be. absolutely impossible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. See that? That is so emphasized in the scriptures, but by me. There is no other way. We have to find that Savior, Jesus Christ, to have access to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the only channel. It's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, verily, verily, amen, amen. This is so true. I repeat it. I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You have no life in you. You must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood. Except you do that, there's no life in you. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I can continue a little bit longer. Only name, only mediator, only way. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Are you listening for yourself? You don't have the Son if you don't have him. I don't know how to explain what that means, have him. If you don't have him, you have no life in yourself. You're dead. The only Savior. And it's free, right? It's absolutely free. He's the only Savior. He can't use any help. He is the only one. So maybe you have changed a little bit over time. You matured, became more seriously minded. You read the Bible more than before. And sometimes it's interesting. And you listen to sermons. And sometimes you almost cry. And you dry your tears. You're sometimes encouraged to see the Lord. And sometimes a desire, you say, things have changed a little bit. I think I'm saved. Wait. There's only one name, one way, one Christ, one mediator. Have you found him? If it is saving faith, if it's saving faith, it leads you directly to him. And all those roundabout ways are ourselves. He becomes precious. We ought not to seek anyone else. We can't find anyone else. And there is nobody else. He is also a complete Savior. So why would we look for another one? Complete Savior. Complete? What do you mean? Of his fullness have all you received, and grace for grace. Grace after grace after grace, and grace and more grace. There is such a fullness. Why? Why would you look for another Savior than Jesus Christ? For whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Lord has given him such a huge measure of the Spirit, not just a little bit, but enough to save people for and with. in whom are hid all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. In him dwell all the fullness of God bodily, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. He is the Almighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I hope that you have the same opinion, that he is a worthy Savior, that he is a dear Savior. Is he dear to you? Dear Savior. An omnipotent Savior. The only Savior. Nobody compares. Nobody comes even close. You don't need anyone else. You don't need anything more. If you could not wish a better one, he's the only one, the best one, the complete one, the perfect one. So keep it in mind. And as he is the only one and the complete one, it is very offensive to not look for him and to yet look for something else next to him to help him. Very offensive, the Father says. All the fullness of the Godhead lives in him bodily. Can God not provide himself? Is that not good enough? That's terrible. That's what unbelief is. So don't look for another one. And don't have those low thoughts of him. He's the complete Savior and the only Savior. And he is preached unto you. To seek your salvation only in him. Must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. But you know, Jesus is the Savior. He's the only Savior. But how does he become our Savior? By receiving him. Our third thought. Again, about someone who is sick. And he tells a friend or his mom, I feel so sick. And his mother says, just ignore it. You're fine. Just believe you're fine. You'll be fine. It's so dangerous. It's probably better to say, well, let the doctor check it out. Instead of saying, you're fine. Don't worry. Just believe the best. Be positive. And yet that's how some people deal with faith. And they say believing is just pulling that blanket over your head and just, don't worry. You're fine. Pump it into yourself. You're fine. You're saved. You're forgiven. You go to heaven. You're a Christian. Why not? And that's not what believing is. Believing is not to believe, to just believe that you're saved. And with that you're okay. And that you go to heaven. And that this and that that. Believing is believing in someone. Not only trust someone, treasure him, love him, follow him. He's everything to you. And that's what believing is. Believing is treasuring Jesus. He's so dear, he's so trustworthy, so dear to my heart. So believing is a personal coming of the soul, a coming of the soul to Christ. You say, well, you make it difficult. No, I make it easier. I try to explain what believing is. Believing is a coming of the soul, of the sinner coming to Christ. So often in the Bible we find parallel lines, right? Parallel lines, like railroad track, says something and says something again in different words, the same thing. There's parallelism. And you can learn from parallelism because one sentence explains the other. Want to hear? Well, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never hunger, never thirst. If you come to me, believe on me. So believing on him is the same as coming to him. It's not just blank out and trust you're fine. That's not believing. Believing is a coming, an action of the soul to come to Christ personally. So you can't say, well, I was baptized, and I go to the Lord's Supper, and I read the Bible, and I'm a Christian, and I live an exemplary life that makes me a Christian. Does not make you a Christian. That true believing is a coming of the soul to Christ. And that coming is a coming with the whole heart. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So that coming is a coming with dedication, with love, with appreciating him so much that he is more important than anyone else in this world. That's believing that Jesus is on the top. See, that he's the only Savior, and the soul, the needy soul, comes to him in need. Yea, doubtless, Paul writes in Philippians, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. See, that's believing. Believing is that nothing counts and nothing is important but Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, who cares? That I may win Christ. Well, think of that man who found a pearl of a great price and said, I have to have that pearl. So he sold all he had, his farm, his equipment, he sold everything because he said, I need to have that pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. That's believing. Believing is treasuring the Lord Jesus Christ who revealed himself in the Bible. And believing is a soul coming. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Received him not. He came, but they didn't receive him. They closed the door on him. But as many as received him, welcomed him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, that's believing. Believing is receiving. Receiving him is believing him, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So receiving him is believing. So some gave sinners too early a chair. Just sit down there. You're concerned. You're busy with those things. You'll find. Just continue. Have patience. God will hear someday. And someday you'll be able to believe. No. You can't say that. That's procrastinating. That's dangerous. I know that faith is a gift. I know it very well. From my own experience also. Faith is a gift. And yet we may not say, just sit there and wait for Jesus to come. He's working your heart anyway. Don't do that away. Hurry. Seek him. Believe on him. Come to him. Come to him. I have no feet. No feet, but he can give you those feet. I think of that example of the lunatic boy in the Bible. You know that example? The disciples couldn't help him with that boy and his sickness and his problems. And he was disappointed. So he came to the Lord Jesus. What did he ask? Remember? What did the father ask? Something like, Lord Jesus, if thou can help me possibly, can do something about it, please. If that's possible, please. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, if you believe, if thou believest. See the father standing there? So it's not about if Christ can, it is if I believe. And he began to cry. And he said, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That's believing. Believing is not just the presumptuous proud to take it. Have it. But it's that humble looking unto Jesus. Coming to him. Not only trusting him, but treasuring him. Loving him. It's faith that worketh by love. So why have you not come? Some of you have not come yet. Why not? You don't feel the need? Don't see the problem? Or you feel in a rut? You can't get out? You feel vile? You feel too sinful? And you in no way qualify? You think, I've sinned too much, I'm too hard, too worldly, too this, too that. I can see your point. But he's the only one. And he is a complete savior. Anything is possible with him. All things are. Why not? You don't have to qualify. You don't have to wait for that push. You have to wait for that. The door is open. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I hope you're not confused and wonder if you're welcome. Because all sinners are. The door is open. But Pastor, if I would come and the Holy Spirit is not there, won't happen. If you come honestly with all your sins and to that Savior revealing himself in the Scriptures, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, right? And Jesus died, the Savior. He just tore it apart and opened the door. Don't sew it together again from the bottom to the top. It's open. He shall save his people from their sins. He shall do it. He will bless the word. He will bless the preaching. And he will draw people in by his hand. It's him doing it. He is first, he's last. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All things come from him. He is a complete Savior. And someday he will have all his people in. To have them all saved. There will be a crowd in front of him. From all nations, peoples, families. And I want you to be there as well. Wherever you are. Some of you I don't know. I want you to be there as well. In that crowd, giving glory to God. And say, God, I haven't saved myself at all. We have found all things necessary in thee for our salvation. And we are not going to seek anyone else. We adore thee. And then a long eternity with the Lamb of God will be bliss. Amen. Almighty Lord, may it please thee to apply the word to the heart, and that some may feel the need indeed for the first time or again. Deepen it also and lead people to the Savior. Show him unto them. For example, in his name Jesus, that he will save his people from their sins. And may some say, well, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And that they may come with his soul coming, treasuring him, selling, so to speak, all they have for him. Lord, draw people, then they will walk after thee. Be with us this week. Bring us safely back home. Help us in all decisions that need to be made and traveling. And then the Lord knows the concerns and the fears and all the problems in this life. May we at least have the Savior to save us from our sins. And then all other things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God, it says. In Jesus' name alone, amen.